Good morning. It's 8:22. I'm Emily Files, and we are having another gardening call-in show. Terry Hoyt is in the studio with me, and we're going to talk about greenhouse or hothouse gardening. Hi, Terry.
Hello, Emily. How are you today?
Good. How are you?
Excellent.
Thanks for joining me this morning. And so we're going to take your calls as we're talking. The number here is 225-9655. So Terry, tell me about your gardening background.
I love gardening. I've been doing it most of my life. My mom was an avid gardener. I grew up in California. Of course, that's a big agricultural state, the land of the fruits and nuts, as I like to call it. So I've been having a garden here in Ketchikan for 35 years, and it's just a lot of fun.
And tell me about why you use a greenhouse or hothouse.
Well, they do really good because you can keep the rain off the plants. They don't get all beat up. And of course, increased heat really helps the plants to grow faster and keeps the pests down. Slugs can't really get in a hothouse. You can kind of monitor that a little better. And deer can't get in unless they really, really try. So there's a lot of reasons. Just more heat, the plants grow better.
So you have more control over what's hitting the plants.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And what are you growing?
All sorts of things, lettuce, broccoli, chard, peas, cabbage, all sorts of exotic things. Mizuna, I've learned about Japanese greens just recently. They're very interesting. They do great here. They grow fast. They produce a lot. They're cold tolerant, and they're really good for you. They're basically all related to brassicas, which are like broccolis, cabbage, kale, all that stuff. So they're good for you. Kamatsuna is another one. So that's just something new, and I'm sure there's a lot more stuff out there I want to learn about to grow in the future.
And then you're also growing things outside of the greenhouse. So how do you choose what to grow in the greenhouse or outside of it?
Good question. That just depends on what you want, how much room you have, what your, you know, your light source, if you have a lot of light. Different things. Things that do not do so good in a hothouse are things that need a lot of room, like rhubarb, berries, your potatoes. Zucchini plants get pretty big sometimes. So
for someone like me who doesn't know a lot about gardening, why do those plants need a lot of room? Are they just really spread out?
They just get a lot bigger, and they don't like a lot of heat. You know, you don't really want potatoes in a hothouse. But things that do really well in hothouse, things like tomatoes, your delicate greens, broccoli, cabbage. And I mean, some things like chard or peas you can have either in or out. And I do have a garden plot outside as well as the hothouse. Chard does good either spot. Peas, you can have a successive harvest, meaning they'll produce faster in the hothouse, and then a little bit later in the season you'll still be able to harvest. So it just all depends. You got to have a lot of good light and make your hothouse nice and sturdy because of the wind or the rain or snowfall. I had a garden in the mid 80s that had to collapse because we had a 4-foot snowfall in March. I was pretty frustrated about that.
And it was not prepared for that.
Nope.
225-9655 if you have a question for Terry Hoyt. We're talking about hothouse or greenhouse gardening. So tell me about constructing a greenhouse. What is that process like?
It just depends on how big you want it. You have to pick a pretty sunny place. And as I mentioned, you have to make it fairly sturdy. So you want to get the clear plastic. You could use Lexan or anything fancy. You can make it as fancy as you want. I've used Visqueen and just old logs when I first started out. And you could just add heat, like heat lamps or whatever. So it just all depends. But, of course, soil is the big thing. Soil and light are everything. So you want to add to your soil. You can start keeping your kitchen scraps, kitchen compost, add sand, manure, seaweeds. I even add oyster shells to my garden, all crushed up, whatever organic bags of stuff you can find from the stores to build soil. So just remember, good soil is everything with good light.
And could you describe some examples of how it's good to have that protection for your plants? You said it protects them from pests and rain and that kind of thing. What's an example that you've seen with plants that you're growing outside of the greenhouse and then the ones that are inside? Can you talk about that?
Sure. Well, if you have little tiny baby lettuce plants and you have a big rainstorm, they're just going to get all beat up and driven back into the ground, and they just don't have a chance to really get strong enough to endure the rain. So you can even make a temporary cover over your garden plot and then take that off when the plants are more mature. So, and also the slugs, you could be gone for 2 days and come back and the slugs would have eaten everything, especially cabbage and any delicate greens like that. So the hothouse really helps to protect things.
Mm-hmm. 225-9655 if you have a question for Terry Hoyt. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be back here in about a minute.
KRBD programming is brought to you by Hummingbird Services, general contractors now offering window washing with their Tucker Pole system and auto interior detailing. Hummingbird Services, neighbors helping neighbors since 2000. 225-3686.
Good morning, it's 8:28. I'm Emily Files, and Terry Hoyt joins me in the studio. We're talking about greenhouse gardening, and we're taking your questions. Call in 225-9655 if you have a question, a general question about gardening or about greenhouses or hothouses in particular. So Terry, tell me about when you start planting in your greenhouse.
Well, first of all, I start my seeds inside around St. Patrick's Day, and then kind of baby them along inside for a while, and then you have to harden them off, and you just kind of, that means to get them used to the colder temperatures. And then I transplant things outside around late April, but it depends on how the season is shaping up, because a lot of times we'll have a real warm spring and then it'll be a cold snap, or it'll just be snowing still in March and April. So you want to make sure not to get them out there too early. So you just kind of have to, it's hit or miss with gardening. That's what's one of the challenges, is just mm-hmm. trying to figure out what's the best strategy for each season.
Okay, so how does the timeline work in terms of when things are growing?
Well, once everything's in the ground and you just have to keep watering, mm-hmm. you know, and just keep watching. And that's another good thing about hothouses, is the weeds tend to be less inside.
Oh,
so
yeah.
that's a big deal. So
yeah,
that helps a lot.
Do you think hothouses are especially beneficial in Ketchikan, where there are a lot of, it seems like, factors that can affect the gardening negatively, like the pests and the torrential rain and the weeds?
Absolutely. That really helps a lot for the plants to grow. They just are stronger. You know, the increased heat really helps. Mm-hmm. And you get a longer harvest into fall, you know, because it's protected before those first frosts, you know.
Yeah. All right, we've got a caller, it looks like, on line one. Is this A. Fred, if I'm reading this correctly?
Yes, ma'am.
All right, what's your question for Terry?
How do you crush up the oyster shells?
I usually use a maul or something, but you have to wear glasses because you don't want any oyster shells flying into your eyes or anything. So just kind of smash them up on something hard. They're pretty easy if you just let them dry out a little bit after you enjoyed the wonderful oysters, and they smoosh up really easy.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So is that a good fertilizer?
It just helps add minerals and everything to the soil, and just, you want your soil really light. You don't want, you know, compacted or with a lot of clay. Mm-hmm. That's why I add sand. There's just so many different things that mm-hmm. you can do to your soil.
All right, and we've got Michelle on line two in one moment. Michelle, are you there? Michelle?
Yes, hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay, great. Well, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
So my question has to do with watering, moisture, mold, and what are those bugs? Aphids in the greenhouse. Now, so some greenhouse gardeners water from the bottom, like they just dunk their pots in water and have the plant soak it up from the bottom of the pot, and some water on top, and just to cut down on the moisture. I mean, is there any method you use in the greenhouse to cut down on aphids? And if you do get an infestation of aphids, what do you do? That's my question. Thank you.
That's a good question. You definitely have to keep things watered in a hothouse, because you kind of forget if it's raining outside that in the hothouse it's dry, and you want to keep everything nice and moist. But you don't want to water too much or late at night. You want to do it first thing in the morning, especially on a hot day. Then it can kind of, you know, evaporate throughout the day. That'll help with the mold problem. Aphids are a real problem. I've had a few infestations. I just usually remove those plants. So if you have a real hot day and you see a few aphids, what I do is I actually either manually remove them with my fingers or spray them off or just get the plants
out. I'm a couple steps behind here. Are aphids bugs?
They're little tiny, they're juice suckers. They just suck the juice and all the life out of the plant. And they're really small. They can be green or black, and they just get on a plant. There's usually a zillion of them, and they're just not very good.
So that's been one of the main struggles for you in your greenhouse gardening?
Not so much. Just once in a while you'll get a few in there. But that's important thing about hothouse design. You want to make sure you have good circulation. So you want vents at the top, because remember, heat rises, and that's really important. And also to have air circulation and have those vents so insects can get in, because some plants will do a lot better if they're able to be pollinated by insects.
So they, you want to let some of them in but not others?
I said it was a challenge, and it certainly is. Well, for example, people buy the tomato set spray, but if you have a vent, the little bugs can get in and get on the flowers. But really the trick to tomatoes to set fruit, you can just gently shake your plants, or when they're in full flower, just kind of, if you can lean the plants towards each other, just kind of rub the flowers together, then you don't need that synthetic hormone spray. So that's what I do. And
what does shaking them do?
It just moves the pollen around between flowers.
And I see. 225-9655 if you have a question for Terry Hoyt. We're talking about hothouse or greenhouse gardening. What are some other things that people who are just starting out doing greenhouse gardening might forget?
To water, because they kind of forget that it's raining outside, and then they go in the in their hothouse, and then they realize, you know, you just have to be on top of it with gardening, you know. And you want to space your plants out. So if you plant a row of carrots or something, you have to go through in a couple weeks and thin them so they have more room, because plants that are really crowded don't do as well. They just need room to get bigger.
Could you describe the layout of your greenhouse? How big is it?
Oh, it's about 15 by 20.
Okay.
So it's pretty good size. And
so could you describe walking in the door of the greenhouse and what's there?
I walk in, and there's a couple boards, which I call the walking boards. So you don't want to walk on your soil, because that compacts it and messes up the plants and the drainage and everything else. So I just have boards laid out, as few as possible, so I can get more plants in there. And I'll have one little space. It's all different types of lettuces. I'll have my broccolis, which I actually don't start from seed. I buy those from a nursery as little pony packs, and I've had so much broccoli at the last farmer's market. It was great. So I have a little broccoli patch, some cabbages over in the cooler side of the hothouse, tomatoes up front in the hotter areas, and green onions in just little patches. Arugula I planted in the front, because when I harvested it, I pull it out, and then I can get another crop in. So there's just peas along the wall. I'm visualizing now. So it just all depends, you know, zucchini plants, all sorts of things.
How'd you learn what kind of layout to put the plants in?
Pretty much trial and error. Yeah. Having a garden in Alaska is very challenging, something to be proud of when you actually get that little harvest. It's a little victory. So you just have to experiment, and that's part of the fun, is when you just figure out, first of all, figure out what you like to eat, and then, you know, figure out different things. Chard does really good, super easy to grow, and does good in or out, so whatever, you know, just whatever you want and want to try.
What's some other advice that you would give to people who might be thinking about trying to use a greenhouse to garden?
Well, be patient. It's a little late in the season, but you could probably still throw some arugula seeds out and get them growing. So just basically just see what you want to eat, and just stick some plants in there and keep your eye on them, and pretty much once something's in the ground, it just does its own thing. If you get, even if it's not that sunny a weather, it's the daylight hours makes a big difference. We have nice long days in the summer, and that really, really helps. And it's fun to be in a garden. It's all rainy outside. You can be in a nice, cozy, yeah, hot house and be grubbing away and harvest something for dinner. I get a salad almost every night.
Yum. 225-9655 if you have a question for Terry Hoyt about gardening or greenhouses or both. So do a lot of people in Ketchikan use greenhouse gardens?
I've seen quite a few, so I'm happy to see that. A lot of people have big plots outside as well. So there are a few people that garden, but I really think a lot more people could give it a try because it's pretty surprising. I mean, people are just blown away when I describe that, oh yeah, I had cabbage over the winter, and they just can't believe it. So yeah, I think more people should try.
So can you grow things in the greenhouse in the fall and winter?
Some crops do okay. You have okay. The late season or cool weather crops that do a lot better, like these Japanese greens I was telling you about, on different things. I mean, you want to pretty much start them late summer so that they have a foothold, so to speak, and then throughout the, it depends on the winter though. Mm-hmm. And again, the weather is the big determining factor. If it's going to be 10 degrees in November, nothing's growing. So, mm-hmm.
So in your, you said 35 years as a greenhouse gardener?
That's yeah. Right.
So in those 35 years, do you have one victory that you can talk about with a plant that maybe wasn't doing so well, but you figured out how to grow it in a way that it really thrived, and what you learned from that?
Oh my gosh, there's been a lot of victories and defeats. Yeah. So I've had giant zucchinis that were just almost 3 feet long, and
wow,
lots of peas, and just to me being able to have a mild enough winter where I could harvest throughout the winter like I did 2 years ago. That is a huge victory.
Mm.
But that is not up to me. That is up to Mother Nature's weather.
Yeah.
So just a lot of things. Being able to share so much. It's wonderful to bring produce to the farmer's market, and people go, you grew that? I said, yeah. So all sorts of crazy things. I grew a birdhouse gourd a couple years ago, but I had it actually in my house. And that thing got 30 feet long. It didn't produce any gourds, but it was the coolest plant. It wrapped all around my kitchen, and wow, it was just so much fun to watch that thing grow literally a foot a week, it seemed like. But
mm-hmm,
yeah, that was interesting.
225-9655 if you have a question or comment about greenhouse gardening. What else is interesting about greenhouse gardening, something that maybe I haven't asked about because I've never grown anything in a greenhouse before?
Well, you can try just different things. You know, just you can go online and research cold weather gardening and just see what kind of seeds and stuff are out there, just like this Japanese greens. It's just so different, and you can have mm-hmm things that you can't find in the store to add to your salad.
And how do you find out about those kind of plants? Just go online and go to different websites?
And just talk to people. I mean, there's a lot of knowledgeable people out there, and it's just interesting to learn different things. That's part of the mm-hmm part of the challenge.
What kind of impact do you feel like gardening has on you?
Well, I love to eat what I grow. That's always fun. It's good exercise. I feel like it's a real accomplishment to be able to grow a garden in Alaska. I mean, of course, it was easy in California. You just throw seeds around and they start growing. That's up here, it's a little more challenging.
Yeah.
So I just love it. And I've always shared with my daughters and friends and everything what I could grow. And then the farmer's market has been real fun. So
yeah,
it's just a great hobby.
What kind of feedback have you gotten from people at the farmer's market? And what have you been selling there?
Just broccoli, lettuce. I had a lot of tomatoes last year. We had a really nice summer. I know you just moved here in January, Emily, but we do have some pretty darn nice summers sometimes, and there's still hope for this one. So just lots and lots of tomatoes, and people could not believe that.
Yeah.
And peas, rhubarb, of course, some berries, all sorts of things.
Mm-hmm.
They're just really surprised, and it's so much more flavorful, much healthier. It hasn't been on a barge or something for 2 weeks, and it's just really different.
Yeah. Are there any downsides to greenhouse gardening? Any situations where you would say you probably shouldn't have a greenhouse if you live in this kind of area or don't have certain factors?
Well, if you live in a cave, probably wouldn't be a good place for a...
If you live somewhere where there's not a lot of sunlight.
Yes, but even the daylight, if it's not direct and you're having some daylight coming into your hothouse or garden area, you're going to still be able to grow something. Certain things don't like being in a hothouse. For example, like radishes, unless you get them in super early because they tend to bolt. That means they grow so fast that they just go all leaf and no little bulb. So it just all depends. So it's just a big challenge.
Yeah. Are there any days that you just don't want to work at the garden?
Nope.
No?
There really aren't.
I just love it.
And I mean, once you get your garden going, it's pretty much doing its own thing. You just have to keep it watered and keep it harvested and not as many weeds or bugs or anything inside most of the time. So it's pretty easy. The springtime, May is pretty intense. You're really busy getting the seeds in or planted directly into the soil in the hothouse and getting everything else transplanted, and then just stand back and watch it grow.
And what crops did you say you grow outside of the hothouse?
Oh, I have some mizuna outside and lots of peas. You can do zucchini outside. Of course, any kind of a berry plant. You don't want in the hothouse. They take too much room. Pretty good plot of potatoes. They need a lot of room, and they like being outside. Rhubarb, did I say that already? I have quite a bit outside as well.
225-9655 if you have a question for Terry Hoyt. And we've got a caller. Actually, we don't have a caller. We have a question from a caller.
Oh.
Ladybugs instead of pesticides.
That is a great idea. That's a big thing down at the California farmers markets when I go down there. There's entire booths of people selling ladybugs for that purpose. Ladybugs love aphids.
Oh.
And they just eat them up. And they're such cute little
bugs. Do they eat the plant?
The ladybugs pretty much just stick to aphids. Mm. So if you could get those, I don't know if you can mail order them or what, but they really do work. That is a good alternative.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. So you're not putting harmful chemicals on your plants then.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Not good.
Any other creative solutions you've found to different roadblocks or struggles?
Pretty much if you have an aphid infestation, I just remove that plant. But if you keep your plants, and this is another balancing act because, like I mentioned earlier, and the caller mentioned mold and everything growing in there, if you start to see aphids, you could spray your plants off gently because the aphids will not get on plants that are, the leaves are moistened. So if you could get a little spritzer bottle and just spritz those plants or just get them, pull them and just get them out of there. So,
So in a day, how much time does gardening take up, hothouse gardening?
Well, it just depends on the time of the season.
Yeah.
Like super busy in a lot of hours, probably in the early spring, probably two hours a day. And now I just go out and water every few days and harvest every evening. So I don't consider that part work. And it's you just grab a few handfuls of what you want to eat that night, and it's just such a satisfying feeling to be able to do that.
Yeah, to see the food the whole way through, all the way to the plate.
Definitely.
Right. All right, anything else to add?
It's just a lot of fun. I think more people should give it a try. It's a real victory if you do get something to harvest.
And what do you hear from people about why they might decide not to do greenhouse growing?
Well, it is kind of a lot of work, and it's a lot of bending and stooping and things, so it's kind of a workout as well if you want to look at the positive side of it, but it can be a little bit hard on your back, and that's why a lot of people have raised garden beds as well, because outside you can have your soil actually up off the ground 2 to 3 feet, and then that really helps on the old back there.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just depends on how much effort you want to put in, what you want to grow, but it's easier than you think, folks.
All right, anything else?
Oh, that's about it. I think we've covered pretty much everything. It's a lot of fun to watch things grow and eat all that good produce that you get out of your gardens.
And you sent us a couple pictures of the plants from inside of your hothouse. I think it was some baby broccoli.
Yes, those were very small. I wish I had had a picture opportunity last week or 2 weeks before the farmer's market, because I had some broccoli heads that were, almost 10 inches across. So some of them were really good. And then the cabbages are just heading up already, which is unusual.
Mm-hmm.
So it's always different. Every season's a little bit different. So if you just don't expect too much and then you're just happy for whatever actually grows, then it's a win-win. No disappointments.
Yeah, that sounds like good advice. All right, thanks so much. That's Terry Hoyt, and we'll have pictures of some of the plants from her garden and the recording of this interview on our website, krbd.org. It's 8:47.